Like, once a month, he makes these electronic music festivals.
Did you hear that? That whistle? It happens all the time when you're in Havana.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah. Oh. And they're talking to you.
I've heard my share of catcalls in the U.S., but I was unprepared for the level of attention I would receive as a woman in Cuba. In the States, if this happened to me, my body would immediately stiffen and I would get defensive. But in Cuba, after a few days walking down the streets, my body language has relaxed and the defensive woman inside of me has softened.
She is smart enough to be.
You see that? The United Nations was honking at us.
What up? Everyone's about to be honking at us.
I take it as a compliment.
Yeah. You should.
I do. Yeah.
I let the cat calls wash over me. To be honest, it happens so often. If I turned my head and gave dirty looks every single time, I would be exhausted.
Maybe I should like move my butt a little bit more. Walking away.
I'm becoming so relaxed in Cuba that when a guy I accidentally make eye contact with approaches me, my usual get out of my face death stare isn't even triggered. He asks me what my number is, and then he says, please.
Is it because I made eye contact?
Yeah, that's because I made eye contact.
Oh no!
Please, you just have to ignore them.
Yes.
He's about to try to give you his number, even though you don't want it.
Should I just take it though, right?
I mean.
And then that will help.
Maybe it's the heat, but he feels harmless. So I let him continue to follow us for about 5 minutes.
Ciao!
He's gonna be waiting for us when we come back.
Hannah and I slip into a bakery.
I didn't think he was gonna come over to us.
They always come over to you. If you think they have a chance, they always come.
I'm still getting used to what it feels like to be a woman in Cuba. I'm not sure if I should feel flattered or objectified by this kind of attention. Navigating these questions is always a challenge, but being a guest in another country, it feels like it's that much more difficult. I don't know culturally what it means to be a woman here, but I'm about to find out. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age. This is the third part to our four-part series about Cuba. And if this is the first time you're listening, I suggest you pause and start at episode 32. Cuba is a place of contradictions. It has some of the most progressive policies in the world, but also feels anchored in the past, which leaves me wondering, what does Cuba look like through the eyes of a woman caught between these contradictions?
You know what I mean? So there's a great word. Cubans use it a lot. I'm not sure if the rest of Latin American does. It's called vacilar.
That's Hannah, a good friend of mine who lives in Cuba. But you probably already know that since you've listened to the other episodes.
And it means to look someone up and down real sexily. And Cubans love vacilando. I think it's a skill I've definitely picked up thanks to their culture.
It's funny to like see all these men be like, Hannah is such a beautiful woman. Like, you do transform into like the sensual woman. I think so. In a good way. Yeah.
So you know how you've been friends with someone for a really, really long time, and you kind of always think of them in the way that they used to be when you guys were growing up? That's me with Hannah. Growing up, Hannah wore these tie-dye shirts. She was really goofy, a little nerdy, and was definitely not someone who would be doing this thing, vacilando, so comfortably. But since she's lived in Havana for about 5 years, I can tell Cuba has changed her.
Cuba really allows you and embraces your becoming a woman. And, like, you're, like, an adult woman who's, like, sensual and sophisticated. And I feel like if I were living in Brooklyn with, like, 6 roommates, I wouldn't have someone who's treating me as if I were, like, a sophisticated, sensual woman. Yeah. You know, I would think of myself as, like, a kid.
Part of the reason why Hannah has become so open with her sexuality is because Cuba encourages it. It has progressive policies about sex and women's health care.
I don't want the government telling me what to do with my body. And, like, the government here does not tell you what to do with your body. And it gives everyone accurate information about health and sex so that you can make your own decisions. They talk about abortion in a very sterile kind of way. Or they call it, like, an interrupción, like just an interruption. Like, I had to interrupt my pregnancy, and which means have an abortion. And they don't talk about it like it's killing a life. Like, their society is not based on, like, Judeo-Christian values.
When Castro came to power, he declared Cuba an atheist state and basically shut down the Roman Catholic Church on the island. Religion would not be informing Cuba's policies moving forward, which becomes apparent in 1965 when Cuba announces its free healthcare system would be giving women access to contraceptives and abortion. But it's not just the progressive social policies that have caused Hannah to change. The dating dynamics between men and women have also influenced her.
They assume the role of the man and you assume the role of the woman, and they're chivalrous towards you and they dance with you and they open things for you. And that's just kind of seen as the responsibility of the man.
And Hannah likes this.
I can always expect that when I go out with a Cuban man, you know, regardless of his income, he could make $15 a month. He could have zero income. But, like, I will feel like a lady and I will feel taken care of.
When she says that she's being taken care of, I'm not quite sure what she means.
No piña colada?
What are you asking?
No sé.
De tradicional. Dos tradicional.
So we're at a club in Havana called Fabrica de Arte. It's very chic and trendy. And I'm leaning over a bar next to Tony, one of the guys that Hannah's seeing.
Hey, but you never drink.
No, this is for Hannah.
Oh, okay. Hannah.
He's getting her a drink. When they're next to each other, Hannah gives him a big kiss on the lips. Another thing I've never really seen her do in public before. And she strokes his face and then calls him her love and thanks him. As I'm watching Hannah in her Cuban life, I realize that when she says she loves being taken care of, she's really talking about a feeling, not a reality. Because the fact is, she's pretty in control. Financially, she takes care of herself and earns a good living with an income from the U.S. So she's not really a typical woman in Cuba. She's a foreigner. And no matter how long she lives there, she'll always be a foreigner. But for Cuban women, being taken care of has a whole different meaning. That's up next. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial is provided by Talkspace, an online therapy company. Talkspace makes it easy to connect with a licensed therapist, handpicked just for you, for as little as $32 a week. Using Talkspace, you can text, audio, and video message your therapist and talk about your life, your anxieties for the future, whatever you want. To sign up or to learn more, go to Talkspace.com/millennial. And to show your support for the show, use offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, to get $30 off your first month. Talkspace, therapy for how we use it today.
Hoy me engañó mamá de dos niñas. O sea, no tan joven, pero joven.
So this is Chema. She was born in Cuba. And if we were all out at a nightclub, men would definitely be vying for her attention. She is beautiful. Dark hair, smooth skin, high cheekbones, and she has that J-Lo never aging look.
Let's see, I'm 40 years old.
Wow. Yeah. 40
and you're 20. Donde? Donde?
But Chema is more than her ageless facial features.
Yo estudié finance. Hay un chiste en la carrera.
I studied finance. There's a joke in my field about all those who study sciences, that there's the limit of a function, an axis of Cartesian coordinates.
As she's explaining a part of Cuban culture to me, she's referencing Cartesian coordinates. I smile. I have no idea what she's talking about. But I can definitely tell that Chema loved school, and she's not alone. The American Association of University Women reports women make up more than 80% of the university students and 68% of university graduates, which just says women in Cuba kick ass when it comes to higher education and getting degrees.
Let's see, Cubans have the chance to study. Yeah, they do. The only thing you have to do is make an effort. Make an effort with your capabilities to study.
But even after Cubans get degrees, they can't always find work that will pay them a decent salary. This is true for both men and women. But women have an additional challenge.
I have a job as a mother 100% of my day. But I'm a human being. I'm a woman. I also want to have my space.
In Cuba, women like Chema are free to pursue their careers. Society is like, yeah, go be a bomb-ass professional woman in the world. But if you're married, you are expected to take care of the house and the kids. Men aren't really expected to cook or clean or take an equal part in raising children.
Cubano machista. El Latino, creo yo, de manera general.
The Cuban is machista, the Latino in general. It's difficult for a woman to be a mother, to be a woman, to be a professional, in a place where you have to struggle so much.
Can women have it all? Can they be a professional and a wife and a mother? It's difficult, no matter where you are. But it's that much more difficult for women in Cuba because they live on an island with an embargo. What does that mean on an everyday basis? So let's say you want to go to the grocery store.
A really nice supermarket looks like.
Okay.
And you're gonna be like, but where's the food? I don't understand.
In the store, there are fewer than 5 aisles. And some aisles just have one item down the whole row.
Pringles. Pringles, Pringles, Pringles.
Olives. Lots of juice.
In another grocery store we go to, it has lots of liquor, oil, a freezer full of chicken, and randomly, tons of ketchup. But that's pretty much it. If you're a housewife, shopping for your family in Cuba can become a full-time job.
What can take 20 minutes in New York, in Ecuador, in the third world, here, it can take 3 days.
Unless you're especially wealthy and can hire someone to shop, cook, and clean for you, the weight is all on the Cuban woman. She's expected to do it. And to do it, they sometimes end up putting their professional dreams on hold.
I mean, maybe if I was your age, I could say, well, I can wait 10 more years. But I'm 40, so of course, what I have left to accomplish as a woman, as a person, is passing fast. I'm already accomplished as a mother.
Chema has always wanted to be a professor, teaching finance, but she doesn't know if she'll ever achieve that dream. For now, her hopes are in the future for her daughters.
Que sean mujeres profesionales e independientes.
My dream for my daughters is very simple. For them to be professional women and independent. Independent from me, independent from a man, independent from a political system. kind of like I disown my own culture. Not the familiarity, but the machismo.
Oh, muchas gracias.
Lo pasan bien.
Bajaste por la mano.
Sí.
Ah, yeah. Gracias. ¡Oh, mira qué lindo! ¡Oh, my God!
Hola. Hola. Un amigo.
Hola.
Mega. Y entonces, a ver.
But other Cuban women are finding liberation later in life.
I think like everyone else, it was finding love, getting married, having a family, all those pretty things one always dreams of. Yes, those were the expectations back then.
This is Lisette. She's in her 40s, about Chema's age. And for a while, she was following a similar path. She got married when she was 21. She moved right into her husband's home with his mother and sister, and quickly found herself responsible for taking care of everyone and everything, which did not go well.
Pero hay el problema de la vivienda. O sea, yo vivía en su casa.
I mean, I lived in his house with his sister and his mom.
There were a lot of conflicts, all living in one house. So she decided to separate from this guy, and that was when she decided she was not going to get married again.
Hi, thank God that I can have my freedom. I mean, to live marriage was like, this is not you. I don't want a man in my life.
But of course, like every romantic comedy ever written, as soon as Lisette swore off relationships, that's exactly when she met someone. We'll call him M.
Pinta una dibujo de este como.
I asked Lisette to paint us a picture of how they met.
Ah, pues fue en el trabajo.
Well, it was at work, and it was a very beautiful chemistry. He's a witty man, extremely intelligent. I admire intelligence in a man, and there was a cute approach.
But there was one problem. Hannah asks, when you found out he was married, what did you think?
He never told me he was divorced or anything. I always knew he was married. I was coming out of a marriage, so this kind of relationship was perfect because I didn't have the responsibility of marriage. The Cuban woman has to do some chores that are not the same as in your case, because not all conditions are the same. I wash laundry by hand. There are lack of kitchen appliances, cleaning the house. So the time you dedicate to lay about in PJs, maybe I have to be filling up water bottles, washing clothes. To have a man and to have kids implies an additional responsibility to which I said, personally, I can't.
I asked Lisette if M ever asked her to marry him.
Teniendo como base que no quiero una relación matrimonial.
Based on the fact that I don't want a married relationship, it is very important to me that this marriage works. If at any point leaving his marriage came up, I was the one that said no.
I'm still processing what she's saying. Whenever I hear these kinds of situations where married men have a wife and then they also have this other woman on the side, it feels like they're in control and they're the only ones benefiting. But it never occurred to me that for the woman on the side, this is also a purposeful choice.
Mientras él respeta mi espacio y mi libertad.
Let's see. As long as he respects my space and my freedom, that to me is fundamental.
Lisette and this married man have been together for 20 years.
¿Qué piensas tu vida hubiera sido?
Diferente.
Sí, sin él.
I asked Lisette what her life would be like if she didn't meet this married man.
Si no hubiera encontrado las alas.
I wouldn't have found the wings.
¿Cuáles alas?
What wings?
Las alas para volar. Las alas para volar no las hubiera.
The wings to fly. The wings to fly. I never would have found them.
Yo me convertí en alguien totalmente independiente.
I became someone completely independent.
concert, and we're watching women who are our age on stage perform. They're shimmying in big spotlights with vibrant red costumes, salsa dancing with their partners. They are the center of attention, and the audience loves them. I wonder, in 5 or 10 years, when they want to have a family, will they have to stop dancing? Cuba has given women a lot of power, free access to higher education, and social policies that support their right to be in control of their own bodies. But what needs to happen for women to find their wings in a marriage? There's a line in that American Association of University Women report that stuck out to me. It said, "We do nothing in changing women if we do not also change men." Devin Taylor edits Millennial, and Justine Paradise helps with production. The voices you heard were Chema Ricardo, Lisette Felipez, Renee Johnson, and Katie Collins. Our translator for the Cuba series is Ernesto Ariel Suarez, and Hannah Berkeley Cohen is our liaison, who is guiding us through Cuba and how it exists today. Millennial is collaborating with photographer Michael Eastman, who provided the visuals for this episode and will provide the visuals for the series. To see his photographs, go to millennialpodcast.org or eastmanimages.com. Ad music for this episode was composed especially for Radiotopia by J.D. Sampson. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, Facebook, and Instagram. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp. On the next episode of Millennial, we close out our Cuba series.
I think the biggest influence that anyone can do is teach to the people around you that it's possible to find a solution.
We're going to talk to a man who left Cuba and then came back to reinvest in his country. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.